Would you turn tonight, please, to John's Gospel, chapter 10? It's a warm one tonight in our church, and I see some of you fanning yourselves and trying to cool down, and that's a natural reaction. But someone said to me once, you expend more energy in fanning yourself and you actually heat up. You don't cool down. So I'm not so sure if that's true or not. But if you need to, you keep fanning away. That's all right. We understand it's warm. John's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill, to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Father, as we are settled now, the final minutes of our evening service, we pray that every heart will be open by the Spirit of God to receive the Word. I pray that, Lord, you would speak to my own soul and help me to present clearly and carefully and faithfully thy holy Word. And let no one misunderstand. And whether in this building or listening online, we pray it might please thee, Lord, to comfort the hearts of your sheep. and that those who are still wandering outside the fold, that they will hear the effectual call of the Spirit of God and come and repent of their sin and come to the foot of the cross, and they will also understand that Jesus is their shepherd. Hear this prayer. Draw near to us now. We ask these things in the Savior's precious name. Amen. I have had to preside over a number of funerals in my ministry, and it is not uncommon for the family to request the Shepherd's Psalm to be sung at their funeral of a loved one. Some folks who have already planned their funeral may have already written down or asked for the Shepherd's Psalm to be sung. Why is that? Because people find so much comfort in that wonderful Psalm 23 that has, by way of picture, it presents clearly the great shepherd of the sheep. And when we think about that, Psalm 23, as we compare it with John chapter 10 that we have read, clearly the identity of the great shepherd is our Lord Jesus Christ. We make no apology for that. We don't have to make an excuse for it. But we accept readily and clearly that when David in Psalm 23, by the inspiration of God, wrote that great and timeless psalm, he had his eyes clearly fixed by faith on the coming Messiah. He knew that the Lord was his shepherd. And tonight, friend, if you are part of the fold of God, if you know him as your Savior, then you are one of his sheep. I want us to think tonight, I want us to think deeply again about the fact of the Lord Jesus Christ being our great and good shepherd. We've already said to you that the theme of this past week has been a mighty one and a great blessing. As we consider that the Savior, he was our prophet, he is our priest and our king, he is our advocate and our friend. And each night one of those themes was taken, and we rejoice to hear again, not new truth, but reinforced truth. And that is good for a believer, because the Lord Jesus would remind us over and over again. And the Spirit of God reveals to us from the Bible the things that we are to be reminded of regarding our Savior. I want you to think first of all with me tonight about this great truth that you and I have been purchased by our great shepherd. When the Lord Jesus shared these words with his disciples, and John, by the inspiration of God, penned them and wrote them down for us, we have them now secured forever. And as Jesus communicated that I am the good shepherd, he was revealing this picture. And if you have studied or looked at the Eastern shepherd and the importance of his leadership among the sheep that are his own, we think about how a shepherd would start out and how he would purchase those little lambs. And as he would purchase them with his own funds in order to begin to build a flock that he would be able to take and nurture and lead. And when we think about that in a simple practical illustration, oh friend, we take that a bit further. And we make application as far as what our Savior has done, the great shepherd of the sheep. He tonight has purchased us. But it wasn't purchased by way of reaching into a pocket and pulling out funds. It was a purchase that cost him, and it cost him dearly. And friend, most of the folks here tonight, I know you, and I would say that you are saved by the grace of God. You know the Lord and He knows you, but there may be someone here, and at this point in time, you have not received the Lord as your Savior. May I tell you that the Lord opens His arms and invites you. He invites you to come to Him. He invites you that you will lay hold of Him by faith. For He has laid down His life that He might purchase us. Oh, we were thinking this morning in our communion time, reflecting back upon the illustration we saw on Friday about the tabernacle and about the Ark of the Covenant and about the mercy seat and about what it meant for that high priest to be able to go in and spread that sacrificial blood upon the mercy seat. And how the type and the shadow and the picture is one of Christ, who is our great high priest, that takes of His own blood to go and purchase for us eternal redemption. Friend, we should never ever tire of that theme. We should never come to the point where we say, I've heard that before, that's old news. Oh, it's old maybe, but it's ever new. And let it be refreshing to your soul tonight. Do you know Him? Then as we meet around the Lord's table to take the bread and to take the juice, to be reminded again of His great purchasing power for us, He gave Himself for us. Did you notice what it said in verse 11 of John 10? I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep. He died in our place so that He might purchase everlasting life for us. Do you know that there are 613 laws in the Old Testament? 613 laws that were given for the people of God to take heed to listen to. But the law could never save you. None of us could ever be purchased by our obedience to the law, by the number of sacrifices that we would make of goats or of calves and offer rivers of blood, as it were. None of that could purchase us. But you take that 613 and turn those numbers back. What now do you have? You have 316. And the most famous verse in all the Bible is John 3, verse 16. And that, friends, is the message of God's love to a world that was cast away and had rebelled and rejected Him. And because of the love of God, and because of the love of our Savior, He has given Himself. He purchased everlasting life that we might live tonight. Friend, think again and thank the Lord afresh this evening. Let never a day go past in your experience that you do not acknowledge and thank God for what He has given to you. And thank the Lord for how He has dealt with these wicked hearts of ours. How many times did the Lord send His messenger to present the gospel word to you, but you pushed it aside? I pushed the gospel message aside. I heard it time and time again as a young person growing up, but there was a point in time where the Spirit of God sent conviction, and He led me to Himself. And friend, if you're not sure tonight, if it is well with your soul, if you're not sure that you have tasted and taken of the Lord's salvation, know tonight that He has purchased for you that price. He has purchased for you so great salvation. But you know, there's a word of warning here. Because those who've heard the gospel many times are in danger of doing this, of trampling underfoot the blood of Christ. Trampling underfoot, having heard the word, having rejected the word time and time and time again. And Milosh quoted this morning, I think it was, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." Well, that's the reality of the gospel. And some would argue, but how does that fit into Reform theology, to Calvinism as opposed to Arminianism? How is it that we are to, can reject God's offer of salvation if we're one of the chosen? And friend, you might argue for a long time on the nuances of theology. You might argue this point or that point, but clearly the Bible tells us, Christ said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. And the gospel offer is freely given. And that's what every preacher must faithfully do, to present that Jesus came to live and to die for sinners. And so we present that gospel offer and say to you tonight, the Lord is here to receive you. Oh, my friend, when we realize once we have been saved by the Lord's grace, we will know it then very clearly that Jesus paid it all. It's all to him that I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he has washed it white as snow. The Lord Jesus is the good shepherd that has given his life for the sheep. He has purchased us. But not only that, friends, our great shepherd, he provides for his sheep. There is never a day that goes beyond us. Once we are in the Lord, there is never a day that goes by in our Christian experience that we can say that God has forgotten about me. The living God, the creator of the ends of the earth, it is impossible for him to forget one of his own. Friend, you are held in the hands of the eternal God. Underneath us are his everlasting arms. And he will never fail us, never forsake us. He will never leave us. He has promised to be the one who will always provide for his people. What is your need tonight? Your need may be similar to mine, but it may be different in detail. It may be something completely different. Maybe someone here has a very secret, a private, a personal, a spiritual need, and you dare not share it with another. But you can share it with your Lord, and you present that to him. And you know on the warrant of his word, the God who has given us all things freely to enjoy, the God in Romans 8 who said, he that spared not his own son, how shall he not also freely with him give us all things? The Lord is not stingy. He does not hold back from us. My dear friend, tonight he wants to provide for us all that we have need of. And he will. Because the good shepherd loves his sheep. And he loves you with an everlasting love. And he, the one who has provided for your salvation, will provide for your sanctification. He will provide for your daily growth in him. And as we find ourselves surrounded by, immersed in his love and his word, these things he provides for us and every need abundantly. So what about those situations where you have been praying for something, you've been asking the Lord, but it hasn't yet come? Well, at that point, we must surrender our lives by faith to him, and we must be patient and know that God provides our needs, but he does not provide things that are not necessary. He does not provide things simply that we might consume them upon our own desires, but he provides all those things that are needful in a practical way. And so we think of the practical blessings we receive from him, but if we know and trust God for the practical things, how much more will he provide for you and for me in the more important spiritual things? He has provided for us, believer, His own precious Word. He has provided the promises in His Word. And these promises that are granted to us are given through Christ. And He has risen from the grave. He has satisfied God's eternal justice. And He has promised, I will provide all things necessary. That is why He has given us the Holy Spirit. That we might walk each day with Him. That we might be satisfied. We will never be satisfied with the world's things. Because the more we get, it seems the more that we want. But material things can never satisfy the spiritual need. But in the Savior, He promises that He will provide for us every single spiritual need you have. So you have a spiritual need tonight. And you say, Lord, I need You to supply that need so that I may be more conformed to the image of my Savior. I want to be more like the Good Shepherd of the sheep. And if you pray that prayer, Lord, I want to be more like the Savior, therefore provide what I am lacking in my Christian life, God will answer that prayer. He cannot deny answering it. Why? Because that is the will of God for our lives. Paul said in Philippians 2, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So you see, there's the combination of the child of God seeing the responsibility of a disciple and wanting to live for God and serve Him, but we know that God has His hand overshadowing our lives, working, providing, moving. Yes, our great shepherd is ever watchful over His sheep because He is the great head of the church. He is the head of the body. And from the head flows to the body all that is necessary for its maintenance and for its survival and for its flourishing. And we have this great mercy that we have received from the Lord, that He has, who has purchased us, is the one who provides for all of our needs. But not only that, friend, He will protect us. There are times when we might feel that we are left open to the ravages of evil. I don't know about you, but I thought many times, Lord, if You were to let go of me for a moment, I would slip away. I would go off into the world. I would be lost, and I would not be able to recover. But I'm thankful tonight, friend. My great shepherd is the one who is my protector. The Lord went into great detail in John 10 to explain the difference between the shepherd and the hireling. And the difference between the shepherd who cared for His sheep because He loved them and they were His own, and He was the one who guarded the door, the only door into the sheepfold. He made sure the sheep were in the fold and He lay across the door to protect them. And when He led them out to the pastures, He was the one who was there always watching. Watching for what? Watching for the wolf, the lion, the bear. Watching for the predator who would come. And the Lord is our great protector. Oh, I'm so thankful tonight that this good shepherd is also our great security. We talk a lot about security these days in your home. We were dropping off Hyacinth last night, and the first thing she did when in home, she pushed the button, the keypad, to disarm the alarm system, and therefore, all clear, you can come in now. The Lord is our great security. And we think about security in many different ways. We all have keys to our cars, our homes, our businesses. When we get to heaven, there will be no more keys. I don't know if you ever thought about that before. There will be no more need for locks and bolts and doors. No more passwords, no more security, and all the issues that go on with computers and hacking and things today. God is our great protector. And friend, we can commit ourselves to Him, and we know that He will take care of everything that is important and necessary to Him. But if the Lord protects us in our day-to-day operation, And we most certainly can pray for His protection in our physical lives. How many times you go on a trip and a journey, and what you pray for journeying mercies. You pray for the Lord to watch over you as you travel. We did that as we set out going last week, heading down to Malvern. And when we came back, we thanked God for His mercies to us. It's a common thing for Christians to think and do that. Never let us imagine for a moment that we can make it on our own. We need the Lord every day. We need His protection. We need His constant abiding friendship. And He is the great security that's over our lives for every detail. But if He is the security for us in these temporal things, which are much less, how much more do we say that the Good Shepherd is our great security for our eternal soul? The doctrine of eternal security is a powerful one for us. And it means just this, that if you have believed in Jesus and you have called upon Him to be your Savior, and you've truly by faith received Him, then your eternal soul is safe for time and for all eternity. And some people would argue, well, that's rather presumptuous. If you say that your soul is forever secure, that means that you might think you can go out and live like the devil and all will be well at the end. Friend, any person who thinks like that is not truly a child of God. But we rest in the great fact that the one who has shed His blood and has spread that blood upon the mercy seat to make propitiation for us, when He rose from the dead, God was in essence saying, I have accepted, I am satisfied, I am happy with that price that has been paid. Your soul and every soul for whom you have died is secure in the work that Jesus has done. He is our great protector. The Lord God is my shield and my exceeding great reward. Do you know that's what the Lord said to Abraham? When Abraham perhaps was faltering, or maybe wondering if after he had gone with his 318 servants up to rescue Lot and all of his family that had been taken captive by that marauding band of enemies, Abraham got them all back again. He was a stranger in the land of Canaan then, you know. And certainly wondering, would these people not then now gather themselves together in a corporate force and come after and annihilate Abraham and all that he had? God comes to him and says, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. The Good Shepherd, He is our protector. Friend, do not be afraid with what the devil may threaten you by. Oh, he will come with challenges. Are you really saved? He will say, that sin you've just committed, you're not worthy of salvation. You know what you say to the devil in a case like that? You're absolutely right. I'm not worthy. However, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth me from all sin. And I am safe and protected and secure in Him. Rejoice in that tonight, friend. Your Good Shepherd has purchased your eternal salvation. Your Good Shepherd provides for you every practical and spiritual need. And He protects you from danger seen and unseen. And He has promised that He will defeat the enemy of our souls. And He will not be the victor. We, in that sense, will stand upon the head of Satan. We are victors. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And Paul said in Romans 8, what shall separate us from the love of God? And the list is long. And just about everything you could imagine is cited there. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But there's one more thing I leave with you tonight. And that is that the Lord, the Good Shepherd, He pursues us. He pursues us. I'm not talking here now about the pursuit that happens when He is seeking one to save and bring them into the fold. I'm talking more precisely now about the pursuit of the Good Shepherd when we as His sheep wander away. And you know, the picture has been painted before I am not a farmer nor a shepherd. And so any information that I have here, I can only read in a book and imagine then in my mind what that would be like. But there's a term called a cast sheep. It's a term apparently that means when a sheep gets its wool very full and fat, and it goes into a place that might be a little uneven ground, and the sheep topples over, maybe it has wandered away from the shepherd, wandered away from the fold, looking for greener pastures, as my neighbor's lawn is always greener than my lawn, and I wonder, why is that, and how could that be? Well, things always seem greener across the fence. Well, that's the sheep syndrome, we could say. And they wander off, and they go. But do you know what the shepherd does? When that sheep turns over and is a cast sheep, it cannot right itself. It cannot get back on its feet again, and in the heat of the sun, that sheep will die in a very short time. And so the shepherd is monitoring all the time, knowing where the sheep are, counting them. And when one is missing, what is the story in the gospel? He goes out into the highways and the byways. He goes out to search for that one sheep. And when the shepherd finds the cast sheep quickly, he will take its legs and turn it back on its feet again and try to get it on its way and lead it back. The Lord pursues those who are his own. And friend, if you have been walking a distance away from the Lord, if the Lord has been pulling at your heart, but you keep going another direction and you've wandered off, he will come after you. Oh, there may be a period of time where the Lord's watching and he sees, I know they're getting close to danger. What about Jonah? The Lord told him to go this way and he went that way. Well, the Lord didn't let him alone. He went after him. And sometimes the way the Lord goes after us may not be too pleasant, but we have not heeded the warnings. Come back, my child. Don't go near that dangerous area. And when we fail to heed the Lord, when we ignore his warnings, his gentle proddings, then he will come after us. Sometimes it will not be nice. Maybe it will be hurtful. Dr. McClellan speaks about the time when a shepherd will have to throw a stone at a sheep and intentionally break the leg of the animal. He doesn't mean it harm. He only means that that animal will not be able to wander close to the precipice and fall to its death. The Lord is pursuing us constantly, and I'm thankful for that. Friend, don't ever resist that pursuit of the Lord, for it's by his love. And if we find ourselves in the spirit of wandering, let us quickly come back to him. Let us quickly say, Lord, I'm thankful for your pursuing me. I'm thankful for that cable of providence that pulls me back to the Lord. And here's a good prayer for you. Lord, keep the leash very short on me. Keep us very close to your side. Because we are prone, like a dog who smells something, wants to wander off. Well, Lord, keep us close by your side. Because the good shepherd that provides for his sheep, that leads us to the best pastures, that we might be fed and taken care of, the same Lord who is one who loves us with an everlasting love and who has promised that he will be with us and he will never forsake us. And you know, he does all these things for us because he has a purpose that he wants to fulfill in our life. And the purpose that the Lord wants to fulfill in our life is his eternal decree and plan for our lives. He is making us more and more like his Son. And the more he is molding us and working on us, and the more he is following after us, pursuing us, all of these things the Good Shepherd does because he wants us to fulfill the great calling that he will purpose his plan to be fulfilled in us tonight. So when David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, His identity was so clear. It is Jehovah. And He is our possession. He is our Lord and our God. And we worship Him tonight. And we thank Him for all He has done for us. Maybe there is someone here who doesn't know Him. And I exhort you tonight, friend, don't leave this meeting without being sure that you are a child of His, a sheep of His fold. Call upon Him. Repent of your sin. If you're listening online tonight, don't turn your computer off before you are sure that you have called upon Him. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Our loving Father, in the Savior's precious name, we are so thankful for the truth contained in these words tonight, the precious truth of John 10. Christ is the great door of the sheepfold, the one who has purchased our salvation. And Lord, tonight help us, we pray, to worship Thee with hearts that are filled with the joy and peace of our loving and living Redeemer. Father, touch the hearts of each one here tonight, every one of Your children. We pray that we will determine by the grace of God to become more like our Lord. Make us less like our old ugly self, our sinful areas of operation. Please forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us, help us to go on and do what is according to Thy will. Father, save tonight, we pray. Work now in every heart, in every life, in every family. Separate us in Thy fear with Thy rich blessing until we come to meet again. We pray this in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.